Howdy, everybody. This is the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. I'm the host. At least that's what people tell me. I seem to be here at a computer and I'm talking. So either I'm the host or finally I've snapped. With me this week, hopefully, are two real actual people and not voices in my head. So you'll both be able to hear them talk too. Liz Harper, the EIC of the site, and Joe Perez, the general. You know, I called him a Pokemon last week and he got mad, and I don't know what to call you. The Miles Morales of the site. There, you like Miles Morales.
I do, but I mean, yeah, I'll accept it. It's fine. We're good.
You're Miles Morales. Just take it.
Although I will say that some of our listeners really wanted our pre-show to be about what Pokemon I was. Maybe for next week.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah, we could do a poll. We should do a poll first, and then we could debate the poll on Lorewalk. But anyway, lots of stuff to talk about. First off, should mention there's a lot of Lunar Festival type stuff ending soonish because we are in the middle of February. And by the way, we are in the middle of February.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, middle of February. It's not January. It's February. It's the middle of February.
It's my birthday in 2 days.
Yeah, it's his birthday in 2 days. 2 days it's his birthday. And for today's present, he got water.
I did. It was great. It was the best present ever. Sorry. Go ahead.
So by the time you're listening to this, it will probably have already been Joe's birthday, and you should tell him happy birthday.
Yes, you should. Mm-hmm. But while we're doing that, Overwatch Season 9 is starting this week. It's starting today, right? As we're recording this?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Season 9, boom. I have no idea what's in it, because I don't play a lot of Overwatch because it causes me motion sickness. But I'm still happy for people who play it that they get a season. The WoW Lunar Festival's ending, I think by the end of the week, it says the 17th year, which is, that's like 4 days as we're recording. So, yeah, around the time that you guys hear this, it will be about to end. The Love is in the Air, which is going on at the same time as the Lunar Festival, because as Liz pointed out earlier, what is time and what's going on in our games? They're like, we have another event while we heard you like events. So we got you an event so you can event while you event. But Love is in the Air is ending on the 19th, so 2 days after the Lunar Festival. Overwatch's Lunar Festival is ending on the 19th, the same time as WoW's Love is in the Air. And Diablo 4's Lunar Awakening is ending on the 20th. So yeah, that's a lot of Lunar and Love endings all kind of happening in a big block. Just like, and this one's ending, and this one's ending, and this one's ending. So yeah, that's a lot of stopping. I don't have a real great thing for that other than, yeah, a lot of things are stopping this week. But some things are happening. The one that I want to talk about for a little bit, Diablo 2 Resurrected's Ladder Season 6 is starting. And I don't talk much about Diablo 2 Resurrected because, quite frankly, I'm playing a lot of Diablo games as it is, guys. I really love that Diablo 2 is on its ninth ladder season. I love that they're just going for it. No, it's season six. Sorry, it's the sixth one. Yeah, the ninth is Overwatch. I got them confused, but I'm back.
Yeah, you rotated it.
Yeah. I love that this thing is going like this. I find myself wondering, you guys, seriously, do you think in 20 years there's going to be like more Diablo 2, like another Diablo 2 re-resurrected? Like, how long can Diablo 2 exist as a game that is being developed?
At this point, I think it's just going to keep going. Yeah, I think in 20 years, we'll still have Diablo. We've had Diablo 2 this long. Next, we're going to get a Diablo 3 Resurrected. We have to take a little time for people to want to go back to Diablo 3. I mean, a lot of people still play Diablo 3, but it needs a little rest before we go back. But Diablo 3 is an old game. That's old tech powering it. You could amp that up.
It really doesn't look that bad for its age.
It doesn't look bad, but it's, it has a little age to it.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So,
I'm not sure how you'd remaster it, though.
I don't know either.
Yeah, that's something to think about, but
I'm sure at some point we're going to be there and people are still going to be playing Diablo 3. I mean, right now we have people playing Diablo 2, Diablo 3, Diablo 4, and they're all slightly different takes on the same thing, but people are playing them all, and some people love this one, some people love that one. I'm really enjoying Diablo 4 right now.
Yeah.
So there's a Diablo for every season.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't even talked about the MMO or the original game, which you can get on GOG if you want to play just Diablo with none of the other stuff. You can go to GOG and get it, or you can just, play the Darkening of Tristram every time that happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It is pretty something to think about. Yeah, it absolutely is. But Joe didn't respond. So Joe, what do you think? I don't know if you're here. You probably had to leave. Latter season, I think that's really great. I want to see more of them. I'm kind of hoping, I don't know much about this season's ladder. Liz, have you been keeping up on it?
One thing that I'm kind of bummed about is that ladder seasons in D2 have not been, like, the first couple were, like, adding things and were really interesting, but
there was that, the thing that's kind of like the Hell Tides that they were doing, like the zone, it's like a terror zone thing. That was amazing. I love terror zones. I thought that was great.
But the last couple of seasons have just been, hey, here's a new season, and haven't changed much, which is kind of what I would expect from a game like this, but they did a couple seasons that were really, really added a lot of new interesting stuff. And so I'm a little disappointed that we haven't seen more of that. But it's still great that they're still there. There's still Diablo 2 that people are enjoying. And there's actually still classic Diablo. You can go and play that, the non-resurrected version of Diablo 2. And that still has a seasonal cycle of its own.
Yep, absolutely. And it's weird. Sometimes I actually prefer it. If only because it's familiar.
Yeah.
Like playing Diablo 2 Resurrected, sometimes you forget that this is Diablo 2 because it is heavily updated. It's essentially running a different game on top of the original Diablo 2. Like it's visually very distinct. It does not look at all like it did. And sometimes I just want the slightly pixelated older graphics because that's what I remember the game being. Which is not to say that I don't still think that the new cinematics are a lot better, because I do. They're a lot better. There's no comparison. But yeah, sometimes I do kind of feel like I miss the old game. So yeah, who knows? But we've talked about that. We should probably now talk about the solo self-found mode that's coming to WoW Classic's hardcore servers, because solo self-found is really interesting and is a wrinkle for a hardcore mode. The fact that you don't even get to use the AH, right? Like you got nothing now. It's just
So for people not familiar with this solo self-found kind of gameplay, it is no trading. It is no auction house. You use what you found and what you can make. You cannot ask anyone for help. You can still group up with people, but you can't trade. If you run a dungeon, you get whatever loot you get. You can't trade it. You can't sell it except like a vendor for gold. So
yeah, if you want to disenchant stuff, you have to be able to disenchant stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I think is interesting is this really changes up the crafting game. You know how some people will go into WoW and you'll take two crafting professions because you want to have all of that gear, because crafting professions have, you know, each one has their unique piece of gear that you have to be able to make yourself. and you know, you want to maximize that. So maybe you take two crafting professions and you just buy everything. Can't do that. Or the people who take two gathering professions and I'm going to sell materials so I can make gold to buy my mount at level 40. Nope. No, you can't do that. So it does, it adds an interesting little wrinkle there. And I think people are going to really think about crafting because you can pick up these pieces of gear, these pieces of high-end crafted gear that are impossible to get otherwise. And it's going to be much more challenging to gear up.
I mean, I think, can people still trade with their alts? I'm pretty sure they can, but I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay, so if you can't even trade with your alts, you can't even make a mule character. Like, that's gone. That you don't have that. That's an interesting thing, a wrinkle, too, because then now it changes, you know, if you want to, like, specify, you kind of need to specialize in a crafting profession. Because, you know, you mm-hmm. have to, like, all the resources, I have to find them myself. Yeah, that keeps you from doing a lot of things. That's really interesting. I'm wondering, like, too, if we're going to see. I've been thinking about this in terms of hardcore servers, like if they're going to eventually do like a hardcore server for Season of Discovery and so forth. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something I've heard about yet. And so,
No. Yeah,
WoW Classic and the hardcore community have been on quite a ride the past 2 years or so. And the fact that they're now to the point where we've got actual hardcore servers and hardcore mode, that's a huge departure from any previous World of Warcraft type experience. So it's always interesting to me to see that.
That's interesting to see these kind of emergent gameplay modes coming and being like codified as actual things in the game, because this is something players were just doing to give themselves an extra challenge. And now it's going to be like, no, there are hard and fast rules that you have to follow. No take backs. And it's like the hardcore service in general. A lot of people would play this way before, but it's like when you died, you still had a character that you could go and play, and you're not really playing hardcore, but, you know, you have a character. And in actual classic hardcore, it's like, no, when you die, you're a ghost wandering around the world. That's it. You're done. Yep. So it's interesting because players came up with these things to challenge themselves. And yeah, I think that's absolutely really cool that these are being brought to like a wider audience, because there are people out there who would maybe enjoy something like that, enjoy this unique kind of challenge, but weren't plugged into that particular part of the community.
And so, this is a good segue, in my opinion, to talking about the Blood Moon event in World of Warcraft's classic Season of Discovery. The Blood Moon's got some updates recently, and I love this quote that Liz put in, quote from Agrand. We also want to take a moment to recognize that this event is in fact extremely brutal and unforgiving, and that this is expected. Like, they're actually making events for people who want to get, you know, ground into dust. People who were like, mm-hmm. in my opinion, are a little bit masochistic in terms of their game tastes. and that's fine. It's fine that some people like that. Like you talked about the challenge people want to give themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see design work that is actually accommodating that. Season of Discovery has been the most interesting thing WoW Classic has ever done for me for a long time. Mm-hmm. So from the moment I first heard about it, I've been like, oh, wow. Okay, this is really interesting. I'm curious to see if the Blood Moon ends up getting nerfed later, if it's just too hard. Or if they just keep it like this, if they just keep it as brutal and unforgiving as possible, and players just have to work out ways to get through it. Do you guys remember? I can't remember what it's even called. It used to be Classic WoW. You had to get the blood to make certain gear in your crafting professions. Oh, what's it called? You had to go like Blackrock Spire and get like the specific blood from things. And like when you went and clicked on one, it would spawn a bunch of undead. It would attack you, and sometimes they'd kill you before you could get it. Am I hallucinating this, or is this an actual thing that existed? Nobody responds.
This rings a bell in my head, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's not called Blood of the Mountain. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't. It's been so long, and I've done so much. It's like, you know, it's like a distant memory from a long ago place. But I just remember having like, I remember that hunters were like one of the best ones for it because they could. They could send their pet in, run in, grab it, feign, and then run out. And the elites that spawned would probably kill their pet, but by then they could get away, and then they could like resummon their pet, basically, you know, res it and feed it and say, sorry about that, boy, and then move on with their lives, having gotten the crafting material. but I can't remember the name. Man, it's driving me nuts. I don't know if Joe's back yet.
You'll remember the name as soon as the podcast is over.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it works.
Or someone right now is in our chat yelling the name, and unfortunately, I can't see our chat because my computer will explode if I try to do that. So, yeah.
Corey has tossed up a couple. Blood of the Mountain or Blood of the Crusader?
Blood of the Mountain. It's Blood of the Mountain.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I remember that. Blood of the Crusader was different. I don't know what that was for. But yeah, it was Blood of the Mountain. Mm-hmm. I was thinking Blood of the Mountain, but then I'm like, no, it can't be Blood of the Mountain. So, yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things that people used to just, that was its own weird little thing of itself. And this is what, it kind of reminds me of all this stuff they're doing now. Stuff that was just hard and you didn't know what was going on. But we should talk about Hearthstone because you mentioned Hearthstone. Oh, go ahead. You have something.
The thing about Blood Moon, it's free for all PvP. You know, it's completely free for all PvP. You can kill members of your own faction. Kill your friends. Kill your enemies. Kill everyone. That's the Blood Moon. It spawns every 3 hours in Stranglethorn Vale in Season of Discovery. And Brutal's the only way to call it. You can opt out of it. You can talk to Zandalari emissaries in Booty Bay and say, okay, no, I don't want to deal with this. And go about your business searching for, you know, however many pages of the Green Hills of Stranglethorn, if you really want to. But it's interesting that, you know, the developers are saying, this is a really brutal event. This is kind of terrible, and that's okay. Because
that's what
this
is designed to be. Yeah.
That is the design intent, and some people like it. If you don't like it, don't do it.
People who want it, you will get that. So, yeah.
Indeed.
But let's move to the Hearthstone expansion because we had that announced this afternoon.
Yeah.
So it's called what? You wrote down what it was called. Whizbang's Workshop. I gotta give it to every time Hearthstone does a new expansion, it's usually got an absolutely on point name. So yeah. What are the card mechanics this time? What are they doing differently? Have they said already? Like what's going on in the workshop?
There is a new keyword called miniaturize, which when you get a card with this keyword, you play it, and you'll also get a 1/1/1 mana copy of the same card that you can also play. So you play the card, and then you get a little baby miniature version of the card in your hand to play whenever you want. And that can be particularly cool for cards with effects. Like they gave an example of the Chia Drake, which is a 4-mana, 2/4 dragon. And when you play it, you can choose one, gain spell damage +1, or draw a spell. So when you play the miniature Chia Drake, you get to do the same thing. It's a 1-mana cost, and you can also say, I want one more spell damage, or I'm going to draw a spell. So you're kind of doubling up for one extra mana, which 1 mana, not too much. You get a lot of value for that.
I wanted to ask about this Ziliax Deluxe 3000 card.
Okay,
apparently that's customizable. Like,
that is something that Hearthstone has never done. One of the things we're getting in Whizbang's Workshop, I should point out that this year is the 10th anniversary of Hearthstone, which is crazy. 10 years of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
This expansion feels like it's kind of celebrating that. So we have a lot of throwback cards. The core set rotation is bringing back a lot of cards like Leroy Jenkins. And we have this Ziliax, which is a card, is a mech card that everyone loved. Great value. But I don't entirely understand how this one's going to work. It's Ziliax Deluxe 3000, and it is customizable. So while you're building your deck, you can choose different Ziliax modules to combine, and it combines their costs, their stats, their effects into your perfect ideal version of Ziliax. And then you can, Blizzard says, finish your Ziliax off with your choice of cosmetic finishes. So it sounds like it's kind of a build your own card where when you're building your deck, you go and you choose, okay, I want a Ziliax with this ability and this art, or this ability and that ability and this other art. So that's pretty neat. I'm into it. It's very unusual. It's something Hearthstone has never done before.
You could build a cheaper Ziliax that costs less mana to use, but so you could use it more often, but it would be less powerful, or you could go for a more powerful Ziliax that has the exact abilities you want, but obviously it would cost more to use, sort of thing?
Something like that. We don't know what the customizations are going to be. So there are some details we do not have yet. We only know it's going to be customizable in this way, and we don't know exactly what we can customize it to do, but it sounds super cool.
All I've seen when I'm looking it up is there's the recursive module, which is your other minions have +1/+1. The haywire module, which is, you know, gives you the elusive and gives you stealth, elusive, poisonous, and reboot, you know, reborn. Then there's the power module, which, you know, at the start of your turn, double this minion's attack. There's the pylon module, which is divine shield, taunt, lifesteal, and rush. I'm assuming maybe you have to pick one of them. I don't know. The virus module, twin module, and the ticking module, the perfect module. So there's a bunch of different modules, and you can, like you said already, that you can combine them. I just think it's interesting you have this many modules, and we don't really know how to combine them. Like, we don't know, like, which ones can you use? Can you use them all? Like, you know, I don't know yet.
Now, you can choose two, I think. You choose two, so you could choose two of these. Okay, so yeah, I scrolled and I did see all of these modules listed. You could choose two of them that have a low mana cost and get a really cheap Ziliax, or you can choose some expensive, powerful ones and get a Ziliax with really high stats and better effects, but you won't be able to play them until super late game. That's going to fit some decks. That's going to fit well. Some decks are going to want to go cheaper. It's interesting. You have your choice here, which isn't something Hearthstone has done before.
Yeah, I'm sitting here just nodding my head, and that's not very useful for a podcast.
Probably not.
My head gently downstream.
And if you log on to Hearthstone right now, you can get the free legendary card Caulifero, the artist. Caulifero, okay. Which has it's an 8-mana, 6/5 elemental with the battle cry that says, draw a minion, transform all other friendly minions into copies of it. Which that could do some real weird things.
Depending on which minion you draw, depends. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe you draw a 1-mana cost 1/1, and then all of your minions are that. Or maybe you draw like a 9-mana cost legendary, and then your board is full of that. So that could go real well or real bad. I assume if you're putting that in your deck, you want some way to control what you're probably going to draw. So you're going to want to either
you embrace chaos and just see what happens, or you've got an actual plan, yeah.
Or embrace chaos. I mean, that's what I would do. I embrace chaos.
But yeah, that's, since you pointed out that it's the 10-year anniversary, I briefly transported to like a blasted wasteland where the entire earth had long since fallen into dust. And I was like, but then I'm back now. So that's... Yeah, 10th anniversary in less than a month. It's next month, the March 10th anniversary. Yikes. Okay.
It's a little insane, yes. Okay, some of the interesting stuff happening for the anniversary. Of course, there are rewards. You can log on starting February 27th. Log on, and there will be a new event rewards track where you can earn different gift cards. I don't think we've had those specified yet. And a new birthday-themed coin. You will get a 10-year anniversary card back and a... Okay, I totally lost the thread. So I'd basically log on, probably starting February 27th, and you will get all kinds of rewards. March 11th is the official birthday. It sounds like you can log in then to get more rewards, including the 10-year anniversary card back. There are going to be some Twitch drops that week. But I think the most interesting thing for those of us who maybe don't play a ton of Hearthstone is that there's going to be a World of Warcraft mount. If you log into Hearthstone starting March 11th, you will get the Fiery Hearthsteed mount in World of Warcraft. And from March 11th to March 18th, there will be an event in World of Warcraft, which it's a little vague on what this is going to be, but Blizzard says you'll engage in Hearthstone matches in WoW's capital cities that culminate in a special encounter where you can defeat iconic minions, to add to your deck and earn other fun new Hearthstone-themed rewards. I don't know what any of that means, but there will be an event in Capital Cities, March 11th through March 18th. It will be Hearthstone-themed. There will be rewards. That's all I know. And all you WoW players probably want to log into Hearthstone starting on March 11th and get a free mount.
Yeah.
It's a fiery horse.
I mean, I think that's the one they've had before.
Wasn't that a few years back?
Oh, it's not? Because I thought they had like Hearthsteeds before.
So there was a Hearthsteed, but it was a blue Hearthsteed. And this one is like a flaming red Hearthsteed.
Oh, I thought this one was actually... Okay, I got you. Thank you.
This is the fiery Hearthsteed. So the original Hearthsteed was added... It's pretty old. I just pulled it up on WoWhead and it said it was added in patch 5.3.0.
Yeah.
That's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a long road getting from there to here. But yeah, that's cool.
It's a pony. It's on fire. I like ponies. And fire's okay.
I like ponies and I love fire. You like ponies, you like fire. Maybe you just like screaming too much.
I don't play a warlock, so I'm not totally into the being on fire myself thing.
Oh yeah, totally. But, I understand.
As long as there's maybe some safety gear involved so you don't catch on fire while riding your Hearthsteed, which is on fire.
Yeah,
that could be okay. I could be into that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But also we should really mention, I still haven't been able to find anything really Twitch. They did the Twitch campfire thing, right?
Yes, the grim campfire on Twitch has, I'm afraid that's come and gone.
And there's nothing new that I haven't heard. Yeah. But Amazon Prime still got the Captain Crackers, till the 27th, so you've still got a shot at him. The Moira skin is expiring on the 15th, which, again, that's not very far. This might not be out by the time that is the case, so you may not be able to get it. But if you somehow can, like if you're listening to us live, you should pick it up. It's really cool. If you play Overwatch, it's one of the better skins. They don't have a new Hearthstone thing yet. And Diablo 4 has been doing a lot of stuff, but it doesn't seem to be anything Prime or Twitch at this point. But they've got store stuff if you want to buy something. I like free stuff. Free stuff is.
Everyone likes free stuff.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I will say before we move on that it's Hearthstone's 10th birthday, but it is Blizzard Watch's 9th birthday this month.
Yes, and, this month, right now. It's our birthday
right now. I mean, we're celebrating all month. Sure. Yeah. So it's a month long birthday celebration.
It's our birth month.
Come on. Life is hard. You want to celebrate what you can as long as you can. Grab that joy and hold on to it. So yes, it's our birthday month. And we have some cool new merch. We have our merch store up with a new version of our Blue Phoenix mount. Blue Phoenix mascot. That's what I'm going for.
Yes. And you don't actually get to mount. It. Sorry.
No. It's something that's on t-shirts. So you can't write it. It's not gonna fly around the room.
One person comes back home from their day at work and there's an actual Blue Phoenix waiting outside their house for them to ride. Like, hello, I am from Blizzard Watch. Ah!
I mean, maybe it could fly if you, like, buy a sticker version of it and put it on a drone or a remote control car, you know, something like that. It could be something. But t-shirts, hoodies, blankets, pillows, why not?
I'll say straight up, the t-shirts that we have made in the past have been amazing. Like, they're soft, they're nice to wear. I wore one to BlizzCon, really nice. So I thumbs up from me on our merch.
So anyway, if you enjoy stuff with phoenixes on it, if you want to support the site, I absolutely love our new art. And t-shirts, things of that nature. You can go and buy it right now on our merch store.
All righty. Well, then I think that's basically it for news. We talked last time about I want to say the store, but it's not the store. It's the monthly neat stuff is here now placed in Stormwind and Alagamar.
The Trading Post.
Thank you. Could not come up with those words.
We
talked about it last week.
About that one.
Still cool to mention. You should go check that out if you haven't already. Lots of interesting Transmog stuff there. All right.
It's incredible kind of magical girl themed Transmogs. Mm-hmm. Half of our paladins in raid have been going full out magical girl. So yeah, it's a crazy day.
Yeah. I mean, if you can resist singing the Sailor Moon theme song, you are a better person than I. Anyway,
It's true. It's true.
We should talk about what we've got here to talk about, our news, our emails. If you've got a question for the site or an email or what have you, you can get it to us in a variety of ways. We've got two Discord channels. One is simply the Q and podcast questions channel, where we go and look, just anybody can comment in our Discord and leave a question there and we will look at it. If you, however, are a patron, we do have a specific patron Q and podcast questions channel for you guys, because, you know, it's one of the things we like to do for people as they're being our patrons, is to give them a more direct line that we look at more, you know, more often, just so that they can get their questions in. It's just it's a nice thing we do because you did a nice thing for us. Which is, you know, very nice of you. By the way, I looked up the etymology of the word nice, and it used to not mean good at all. Like, nice used to be real bad, and now nice is good. So, you know, words change. However, if you'd rather send us an email, you can. We have the podcast@blizzardwatch.com email address, and you can send us emails there, and we will absolutely use them. That we've got a question from there today as well. Since I think Joe is still unfortunately not here, I'm going to read the questions and me and Lizard will talk about them. First one is from Mike, and that's the name he gave, Mike. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but, you know, who knows? Could turn out it's a silent K or something. Hey, folks. I know Blizzard intends on making every race be able to play any class. They seem to be making these moves slowly, likely due to development time. And whereas Paladins seem like an easy in with the Tar storyline? Like, why is the Tar storyline?
I'm afraid I don't know what this is.
Like, I know that there was a Night Elf Paladin thing. I don't think the name was Tar.
Are we talking about Tyr?
Maybe Tyr. Okay. Yeah, that would make more sense. Ah, wow. You got us there, man. That one letter off thing threw me. But with the Tyr storyline, how do you think they will add various druid races? I'm personally hoping that Moira has captured and is torturing druids of the flame in order to teach dwarves how to be druids. Humans and Nightborn seem easy because of their history with the class. Can you think of creative ways to teach this class to the other races? I'm going to actually blow this out to other classes than just druids, because there's lots of different classes that could be taught to different races and so. But Liz, any particular ideas you have on the subject?
I really don't. I mean, when Blizzard has added druid races in the past, they've really gone all out on story. So, I mean, Mike here is talking about Druids of the Flame captured by Moria. And it would have to be something like that. It would have to be, in order to make new druid races, I think Blizzard is going to push some kind of story about druid races. And it's just, I mean, you could go and add druids to any race you wanted. You could make gnome druids, which they definitely should, and they would be, like, their cat form would be an adorable kitten. And if they do that, druid main, right here. But If I could turn into an adorable kitten to do DPS, I would totally do that.
See, the thing is that as soon as you started talking about gnome druids, I immediately thought about mecha gnome druids.
Huh.
It's like, are there kittens like full-on robots, or are they like
a robot kitten?
Or would it be like you're a kitten but with a robot leg?
A kitten with like robot eyes? Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
way creepier.
You want it to be cute and not creepy, right? So it would need to
there's
be,
a fine line. Yeah, I think totally robot kitten, I think, would be less creepy and still adorable.
Yeah, I'm just imagining the one that gets me is the bear cub. Can you imagine tanking on a tiny little bear?
I would do this all the time. I'm so torn up about being a gnome druid. I love it. I love this idea. But okay, back to the point, back to the question. I think Blizzard could add any druid race they want to. They just need to come up with a reason.
Yeah.
And they do seem committed to coming up with story reasons specifically for druids, because druids are kind of their own thing. So I don't think they're going to add them casually. I don't think we're going to ever see every race able to be druids, except all gnomes should be able to be druids. Just throwing that out there. Do it for me. I need a win, please. But yeah, the thing is, this is fantasy. This is a realm of fantasy and magic, and Blizzard writes the story. They can write whatever story they want. They can write a story about gnome druids. We can do this.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things about playing Baldur's Gate 3 a lot and also running a Pathfinder campaign is that both those games let you be anything. Like, if there's a class, then any of the ancestries can play it. And one of my favorite characters when I was playing Pathfinder, which was, you know, first edition, not second, but I was playing a lot of Pathfinder, one of my favorite characters was a gnome druid. Especially since Pathfinder gnomes are weird. And it's got me thinking a lot about that kind of thing in terms of like where World of Warcraft should go on this concept. The idea of being able to play every class. I think at this point, it makes sense. I feel like we've moved to the point where the idea of class restrictions based on, what people you chose to be a part of when you started playing the game. I don't know how to put this. It's like, we've been through so many expansions. So many people have been, forced or volunteered to go fight in war against cosmic forces. It doesn't make a lot of sense that the Cenarian Circle is like being selective about who they let in. You know, it's like, well, the world is in dire threat and might die again, but we need to make sure we got the right people in here. I'm like, no, man, the time to worry about that is over. You need bodies. And the thing is, too, it's like imagine trying to justify blood elf druids is like, why should I even have to justify this? They're elves. the Nightborn should definitely have druids of some kind. They were like literally living in the same place. And we're at the point now where we've got this elf city where everybody is welcome. Even the Horde and Alliance elves are all hanging out together. Then I really feel like at this point, if you're even remotely elven, there should be a chance to be a druid. And then once you do that, the Gilneans just reclaimed Gilneas, right? So Worgen druids are back in their own city. Are they going to only teach Worgen? Or would they teach any random Gilnean who displayed an aptitude for it? Why wouldn't they do that? You know, it's just, and the more you do this kind of thing, like both the Zandalari and the regular and the Darkspear trolls have druids now. Like druid traditions are a big part of being a troll. If we ever get another troll group in the Horde, they should learn how to be druids. It wouldn't make any sense. Why wouldn't they teach it? Why would the Zandalari not teach it? They've clearly had druids this whole time. Mm. Like, it's not a new thing. The Zandalari don't do anything new. Everything the Zandalari do is really old. The idea that they've had druids this whole time and they're just like, what, keeping it to themselves? It doesn't really work. The way that the game just feels like it got so much bigger over the past 20 years. That hit me in the head just there but it just feels like,
oh boy,
druids are just one example. Paladins, you mentioned, and it feels like we've got a good jumping on point there. Death knights at this point, anybody can be a death knight. And it's like, if anybody can be a death knight, class with like initially the most restrictive opening, you know, you, in order to be a Death Knight, you had to have the Lich King res you from the dead. Like, you know, he didn't go around doing it to everybody, but now they're just like, okay, anybody can be. Anyone's a Death Knight. Yeah, the door's open. Come on in. Do you like, you know, do you like wearing all black and being in pain a lot? Great, here we are. So, yeah, I get to the point where I'm like, I can understand, like, wizards or with mages in WoW. Sorry, I was thinking D&D again. Mages in WoW, at this point, like, what if they're teaching orcs? What they can't, Torin can't pick it up? Like, come on, guys. That makes no sense. Torin can do all this different kind of magic, but being a wizard's beyond them? We just let Draenei become warlocks, you know? It feels like if there's a race banned from a class, it doesn't make sense anymore. So I feel like it would be nice if they all had nice story reasons, like if we had, like, nice lore explaining why they're suddenly available. But when everybody got to be a warrior, no, there was no class, there was no, like, a quest about why blood elves remembered, oh, hey, we can stab things without being sneaky about it. We can just walk up to you and hit you with a sword.
Yeah, we can wear plate armor and we can stab you.
And we don't even have to be
same,
like,
time.
Yeah, we don't have to be channeling the light or dead. We can just do it.
Listen, so yeah, Blood Elves have made it a point to showcase that you can be a mage and a warrior and a plate wearer and all these things all in one. There's canonical history for this. So other races, I think, should be able to just be whatever they want. Yeah, right.
I'd be where I'm going with this. Also, thank you for coming back, Joe. I missed you.
Yeah, for those of you, I'm going to a little peek behind the curtain. My furnace in the middle of the podcast decided that it wasn't going to furnace anymore, and I had to fix it in the middle of the podcast because it's cold in the Northeast. I apologize about that, but I know what question we're on, so I can actually participate. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I really have said this before, and I'll say it again, and then I'll shut up because I feel like I'm barging in. But every race should be able to be every class. Like, at the beginning, there was, like, a division for a reason. There was story, and I'm air quoting that, reasons, and yada, yada, yada. But at this point in time, just let people play whatever they want to play with whatever race they want to play. Or I'm going to stop calling it race. I'm going to call it, like, lineage at this point because I'm feeling saucy. Like, let it be whatever they want it to be. There really is no reason for them not to be. And in a lot of cases, when players can't be something, there are NPCs that can. Night Elf Paladins are a really good example, right? We have a Night Elf Paladin in game. Why can't Night Elves be Paladins? I don't see why, like Matt pointed out, why can't Taurens be mages? They absolutely have the discipline for it. And honestly, like, looking back at the past, isn't that one of the key elements that is necessary for wielding the arcane arts and, you know, demanding, I don't want to say demanding order, but for lack of a better term, I can't really think of any other way to put it, is having a disciplined mind. It's why Jaina is who she is. It's why half the mages are who they are. It's one of the why can't I remember the archmage's name?
Antonius?
Antonius. Yeah, Antonitus.
Antonius.
Yeah, like, that was one of the lessons
I'll just keep saying words.
No, you got there. That was one of the lessons he kept pushing on Jaina, right? When she was struggling, it's like, no, you have to have a disciplined and still mind. Like, you can call upon this power, you can do what you need to do with it, but if you're not disciplined and you're not, you know, ordered with it, if you're not very careful in how you wield it, that's when it goes wrong. And that's a lesson she's learned over years. But Torin are very disciplined. That's part of, like, their whole, like, culture, right? Sorry, go ahead.
Pidia in chat is pointing out that everyone can actually be a mage now.
Well, there you go.
Yep. Yeah. But the point is that actually is, if they can do that, then there's no class they should be kept out of.
Agreed.
Like, right. We get to the point where if Draenei can be warlocks.
That, like, is true. That, you know, is true.
Who shouldn't be at this point? If Draenei could do it, Draenei are the ones who have the biggest reason not to. Didn't they get driven out of our home by it? But it's fine. I'm just dabbling in channeling the power of the fell.
The only one that I think would make any sort of resemblance of sense is, like, Drakthir not being Death Knights.
Because there's nobody to res them, since, you know, we don't have a Lich King anymore.
Right. Like I can understand maybe that and having, like, a story reason for it, but, like, right, while Drakthir are basically available for only three specs right now and they're only their own thing, why can't we open that up for them to be other things? Like, didn't the Dragonflights wield arcane magic? Isn't that a whole, like, Caligosis or, I cannot remember names.
Malagos?
Malagos and Caligos and all of them. Wasn't that, like, their whole deal, right? Demon Hunters, I can kind of understand being gated a little bit, unless they reflavored the whole experience. But like everything else, I think should just be open.
I'm quite frankly, I'd love to see Drakthyr be everything. Just because,
I want Dwarf Druids.
Yeah, well, we already just had the reasons for Gnome Druids. That's actually an interesting question. Should Dwarf Druids have like the mid-sized version?
Yeah.
Like, and then the Gnome Druids are the ones who got the straight up tiny ones. And when the Earthen come in, their druids turn into like rock.
Listen, if I can be a stocky bear boy, I would be happy. Sorry, Liz, go ahead.
One of the great things about playing a gnome or a Volpera warrior is that you are so tiny. You are so tiny compared to most bosses, to even to most monsters. You're so small, but you get out in front of them with a giant sword and you get in there anyway. And it's just, it's very satisfying to be a gnome in there punching things in their ankles and still owning it.
Back in vanilla and TBC, I used to PvP a lot on my Tauren warrior. Mm-hmm. And I was always terrified when a gnome warrior would show up because you can't keep track of them. In the melee, you just can't keep track of them. And then suddenly there's this whirling buzzsaw just stabbing you. And you're like, ah, where is he? He's inside my combat range. Like, I can hit him, but I have to find him to click on him. Oh, God. No, I'm going to have to tab target. Where is he? So, yeah, I always thought gnomes. And when they got goblins, I thought goblins are great. I haven't seen a Volpera warrior yet, actually. And that's sad. I should roll one.
My warrior currently is a Volpera.
So is mine.
Yeah.
Because tiny warriors are just so great.
You know what? I agree 100%. Small but fierce.
There is something really satisfying about being this tanky class carrying huge swords that's just a tiny, tiny little guy. Tiny.
Yeah, for me, it's more the like playing a gnome, you have to go Titan's Grip dual wield because the animation makes it look like it's not you swinging the sword, but you're just kind of holding on to the swords as they you like literally tumble around the place. Like the effort of swinging that thing is more weight than you. So you just can't, you know, it's like that whole thing where like some class abilities, you shoot out a harpoon and spear to pull them to you unless they're size large and then you get pulled to them. It's like that. Like the swords are so big, you're getting pulled along with them.
It reminds me of Warhammer with the goblins where they call them fanatics and they just swing a ball and chain around and they can't control where they go because they're literally just swinging this gigantic ball and chain around and just hoping they go in the right direction into their enemies. And it's like, that's what I think of when I see like whirlwind small warriors. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I can't stop it. I don't know where it goes. Just.
I'm just going to start twirling. And if you get in my way, it's your fault. I'm not, I can't be blamed for this. I'm sorry.
I regret to inform you at this time that I still have not worked out the computations for this Ashkandi, so it's going to hit you. I'm sorry. It's just what's going to happen. Not that I did like roleplayed a gnome warrior for several years or anything. But anyway, I think that kind of answers your question and then goes well beyond it because that's what we do here. So next up, unless either of you have more you want to say on this one.
Nope. But okay. I definitely have comments for the one coming up.
Alrighty. Well, that's good. Next one is from Arohan. No, Arohan. You have two H's and I don't know why.
Arohan.
But Arohan wants to know, what do you think should be the future of legendaries? In Dragonflight, we've had the combination of RNG, even with bad luck protection, and a large gold bill to craft. Then the RNG is tuned so that if you're not really lucky, you're either getting the drop near the end of the season or not at all. On top of that, the plate specs you can use the current legendary axe are tuned around have this very rare and very pricey item. In Shadowlands, legendaries were crafted without much difficulty. Legion just dropped legendary items all over the place with enough bad luck protection. Warlords and Pandaria had expansion-long quests that ended with everyone getting a legendary. Before then, there was a mix of random drops or lengthy quest chains that required unique challenges in raid or solo. Which method or new method do you think would be best, or should legendaries be left to Azeroth's past? Joe has ideas, so we're going to let Joe go first.
We were literally just talking about this in Guild Discord today. And it was like a really long rant where the other list from our site disappeared for a while for some meetings and came back with like 230 messages of exchanges. Legendaries have been all over the place since the very beginning of WoW. Even things that weren't considered legendary at the time, like I'll use the Hunter Bow quest, was contingent on a drop and then had a quest to go along with it to get you there, where it had you completing some very interesting tasks. It's still one of my fondest memories in all of WoW, was completing that quest with my guild at the time.
And yeah, Loctalar, Roctalar, yeah.
Yeah, and I still have them, right? I still transmog into them all the time. I still have the blue Swinyu quiver, because I'm never getting rid of that dang thing. But those were legendary weapons, even if they were only purple. Then you go into Burning Crusade with the random weapon drop of the Blades of Azanoth, and then those just kind of felt bad if you never got them, or if you didn't get both. And then you got to what I think was probably the best setup for a legendary they ever had, which is when you move into Valinir. Not because it was a healer weapon, that definitely colors my opinion a little bit, but it was a thing where it sort of combined the elements of the random drop aspect, but also the questing aspect, and it also pulled in everybody in your guild. And it was an event. It was a major thing. It impacted everything. And also, the classes weren't tuned around it. It was a win more, not a you don't win if you don't get it. Like, right now, it's very frustrating, and I think for everybody, right? Last year, it was Evokers. Evokers were digging for that legendary, and they were tuned around it. And if they didn't have it, some of them felt it pretty keenly. Right now, it's all the plate classes. They're tuned around it. But if they don't have it, you feel it very keenly. And not saying everybody, there's some things that they can do, and there's caveats that you can do to get in there, but it feels like legendaries became a necessity, not a win more. And the gold sync aspect of it doesn't feel to me as good as something like Valinir, where it took an entire guild's effort of working together, and it was a special occasion, right? Like, it was this big event, and it didn't matter if you only had one of them in the guild, because everybody participated, everybody worked together, everybody crafted it together, essentially. And that felt really impactful. Legendaries ever since either feel bad to me because you don't get them, or they feel bad because you're left out, or they feel bad because they're not special anymore. And I think that's the biggest tragedy to me. So I would like to see them combine elements of what they did with Valinir, what they did with quests like the old Roclidar, where it was a quest chain that culminated in the event of work with everybody around you working together and making it feel like more of a community event. They often complain that WoW feels like a solo game these days, and some people want to play like that. That's fine, but that's a good way to maybe give an event that encourages you to, you know, log in more than just raid night or whatever the case is. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? I'm sorry. I'm kind of all over the place. I've been running up and down the stairs. Does that make sense to you too?
I mean, it makes sense. I have different things to say, but
sure.
It does make sense. Yeah. But Liz, go ahead.
I mean, back in the day, I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, a legendary was an event, and it was often a guild-wide event, and there was something special about it. See? Now, in our own guild, we have people who have, you know, they've gone off and acquired all the materials for their legendary on their own, on the auction house, or grinding, or whatever, and they're just waiting for a drop, and when they get the drop, they're going to make the legendary, and boom, you got a legendary. It doesn't feel really special, and it doesn't feel good when you go and kill Phyrex week after week and you do not get that drop. And it takes so long to get lucky and get the drop that by the time you get it, it's not necessarily relevant anymore. We've got...
Yeah, Phyrex on farm now, guys.
Yeah, we've got... When we're going to be going into next year, and people are still not going to have it. And it's like... It may not be, it's going to be less relevant next year, probably, and it's just going to get even less relevant from there. So it's like you get it at the end of its relevance to the game, and it feels bad. Nothing about this feels good.
I mean, I think I have a weirder perspective on this, because I had both of the legendaries that a warrior could have in vanilla. I had them while we were raiding. Like, I was in Naxx with both Sulphur Os and Thunder Fury. I was tanking with Thunder Fury, and I was DPSing with Sulphur Os. And I know intimately how it was to get those weapons. We got like so many Thunder Furies, and I don't know how. Like the Thunder Fury was a weapon that was very hard to get. My guild had Thunder Furies for people who off tanked. You know, we gave a paladin who was never doing anything but healing. We gave him a Thunder Fury. That's how many Thunder Furies we had. It just was the initial piece that started everything just kept dropping. We were going back into Molten Core to get it. Like we were going repeatedly because that sword was good forever. They had to nerf it in Burning Crusade because it was still better than any tanking weapon that dropped in any raid when the expansion first came out. So I remember it, the final fight on Thunder Fury, it's literally you summon Thunderon.
Yeah, in the Northern of Silithus, right?
Yeah, you summon Thunderon and it's a big fight and the whole raid's there. It's a raid fight. At the time, you needed a raid to do it. Because he hit like a tank.
Yeah,
an actual like tank with a gun.
I remember trying to heal that fight and just being like, "Why are you dying?"
Yeah, because I am taking a lot of damage. You know, it was not a fun fight, and so yeah, it was a guild wide achievement.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50% to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweater starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Sulfuros was kind of both. It didn't really have much of a quest. You got the Sulfuron hammer plans just because you were getting a blacksmith. Like I had them.
Or because you had an enhancement shaman and you needed to give it to them.
Well, no, the thing is... For Sulfuros, yes, but the Sulfuron hammer plans, a lot of people had the Sulfuron hammer plans without any thought of Sulfuros because it was a recipe you could get from the Dark Irons and you were going to be grinding them anyway for the fire resist gear. So I had the recipe and then the eye dropped and it actually triggered like a bit of a war where one of our healers did the most DKP on it.
We had something similar happen.
Yeah, and then another of our healers was like, all right, if healers are bidding on that, I have more DKP than anybody in this guild. I'm bidding on it. And then he was like, but you're a druid. You're never going to use it. He goes, well, when are you going to use it? You heal. Like if you PvP on weekends, I can PvP on weekends. Like why are you more allowed to get it than me? Because you're a plate class. It's a mace. You know, druids can equip it. So I'm bidding. And that ended up with me getting it just because the only reason he did that was because he was mad on my behalf. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. So I went and made it, but Sulfuros, just by being Sulfuros, that was enough. You didn't have to have a big, long quest chain and you didn't have to feel like, yeah, I needed everybody to kill, Rag to get it. But I mean, we were killing Rag anyway. It didn't feel like a group, a group activity like Thunder Fury did.
It still felt special though.
It felt special because it was Sulfuros.
Yeah.
Because it was the giant hammer that Rag was hitting us with every week. So sometimes you don't need more than that. And sometimes you do. Like I think the Thunder The Thunder Fury quests made Thunder Fury feel more special. But for the legendary that I've liked the best getting, and that I think has the best combination of those factors, is Shadowmourne.
Yeah. Same expansion as Valinir, right? Yeah.
And like 1,000 times better, because I could get it. I'm just kidding. But, so Shadowmourne had a lot of the same stuff, but it also had the drawback that Liz was talking about, that it's late. It's late in the expansion. Mm-hmm. I mean, by the time you get Shadowmourne, you have killed the Lich King. Mm-hmm. And you've probably killed him on Heroic at the time. You know, you've probably gone and taken him out on the hardest level before you get it, because he was fairly stingy with the last thing you needed. And it required a lot of complicated, like the Blood Queen portion of the quest to get that axe is a nightmare.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It only gets worse with every new expansion. She just gets harder. It's quite annoying. I think that's the Shadowmourne approach was one good thing to do. But honestly, I'm going to just say this. I think that we should have less legendaries,
mm-hmm.
but they shouldn't be class locked.
Hmm. Like, we were talking. You're going where I was going to go too. Yeah, please preach on.
I find it so annoying that if you're a druid, seeing this axe drop and you can't get it, it's like, I'm a druid. This is the druid raid. This is where, like, literally in the Emerald Dream, and you're telling me I can't use this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why doesn't this thing have a polearm form? Why doesn't this thing, like, why can't mages make a staff out of it? And it's got a big handle. Just take the axe part off.
And before anybody says that they can't do this, they have literally been doing modal gear for at least 2 or 3 expansions now.
I'm going to go back to Wrath of the Lich King, where
that's fair.
In addition to the, you know, legendary that could be used by multiple people, there was you could get an epic quality weapon that was as good as the starting weapons in Ice Crown Citadel for every class and spec.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You could get multiple different swords, and if you were a class that didn't use a sword, there were at least 2 different kinds of maces. So there was nobody who couldn't get some version of this reward. If you can do that, then you can make legendaries that just adjust. You know, you can make a legendary item that turns into, like, and you don't even need to change the name. You could just make the staff version still has a really big polearmy axe blade on it.
Yeah.
It you don't use it for that very much. You just use it like a staff, and that's fine.
And we were just talking about that too, because, like, I like this idea, because the other problem of having class gated, right, is also having it spec gated.
Yeah.
And like, we were talking about one of my complaints that I was having as a healer is I can't tell you the last time we had a viable, and before Liz corrects me, a viable healer weapon. Because we kind of got one in Shadowlands, but nobody wanted it because it did F all, right? But all the weapons we've gotten so far have been, like, DPS oriented or tank oriented, and that's fine. But, like, there's a whole third section of folks that play this game that don't get love or haven't got love. I'd like to see a legendary that pays attention to that and doesn't care about not just class, but, like, looks at it and says, "Oh, you're a healer. Here's what it does for healers," right? Like, and then have it be something that doesn't break the game, but still makes it feel special. And I think that's really, at least what I was trying to get at earlier too, is they don't feel special anymore. And I just want them to feel special. Mm-hmm. Like the examples you gave, Matt, even though they didn't have like you said with Sulfuron, it didn't have an epic quest line, but it felt special because of what it was. It felt
special because, first off, it was the big mace that, you know, Rag was hitting you with. Secondly, you did have to sneak into Black Rock Depths and use their anvil to make it. Mm-hmm. And that's messed up. You know, it was a fun thing because you could take the whole raid through and just crush everything in your path to get to the anvil, or you could do what we did and 2 of us snuck in. Me and a druid friend snuck in and just jumped around everything and got to the place. And yeah, I feel like there's no reason that you couldn't have, like, the axe turn into a one-handed axe for, you know, like, rogues and shaman. There's no reason it couldn't become a healer axe for shaman and paladins. There's no reason it couldn't be like a healer two-hander for paladins. I don't feel like this is something that we couldn't do. And I don't see why you should have legendaries that only some people are able to get unless they just I don't know. I feel like we're past the point where that kind of exclusivity, the exclusivity should come from the amount of stuff you have to do and the memories you make along the way sort of thing. You know, like the real big flame axe was the friends we made along the way because they helped us get it. I feel like that's a big part of it. That's a big part of the legendary thing. It has to be legendary in some way.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm all for that. I'm all for making them less frequent, but making them feel special, making them feel more like not necessarily impactful, but making them feel like an accomplishment, right?
Yeah,
I'm here for it. Sorry,
yeah. And also Ash Kandi should have been a legendary. Anyway,
I agree. No, 100%. I agree with that because lore reasons, it should have been.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I think that's at this point we've pretty much answered this. Liz, you got anything else you want to add to it before we go?
No.
All right. So again, I'm going to do the thing where I look at Joe. I'm really glad you came back because otherwise I was going to be like,
I was imagining as I'm sitting there in my basement trying to get the furnace up and running. I'm like, if I'm not back up before the time the podcast ends, Matt's going to have a coronary. But friends, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means that this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. And again, guys, if you've got a question for the show, you can go to our Discord, and we have both the Q and podcast questions channel for everybody and the patron Q and podcast questions channel for patrons. If you do ask a question, either of those, it's nice if you can tell us stuff like, you know, what show you'd rather it be on. The question that we opened this one with didn't say Lore Watch. I looked, didn't say it, but I'm positive you meant Lore Watch and you just didn't think to say it. Sometimes if you do that, I will jump on your thing like, you know, like a lion that sees somebody that rescued it from a fire. By the way, if you ever see videos of lions reuniting with people who saved them from bad situations,
it's heartwarming.
It's the cutest thing ever. Just giant lion hugging this woman and like licking her head. And she's like, I'm going to die. It's great. Anyway. So yeah, if you do that, that's helpful. You can tell us how to pronounce your name like Arahan did. Thank you for that, Arahan. Even though I still didn't do a very good job, I am really grateful that you did that. These are all helpful. Or you can email us, podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Subject line, podcast of Blizzard Watch. Liz, remind them that it's our birthday.
Do the thing.
It's our birthday. It's our 9th anniversary here at Blizzard Watch. And we have some cool new Blue Phoenix merch for you to check out. So if you want a hoodie, blanket,
coffee mug,
or just want to check out our amazing, amazing art. So amazing by Coffee Owly Arts. You can see that on our website and you can buy some.
Yes, please do. So yeah, this is it. That's been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here with us. We'll be back next week.